Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bop, 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 bop.
All right. So here we are on the tour coach, live from a range tee. Actually up at Hamilton Farms doing a golf school with our good buddy Nick Bova. We'll try to get him on later on a pod. But we had some recreational golfers, club level golfers today. I want to talk about what we saw and what the low hanging fruit, the things that we did that could help any golfer that's struggling to break. We had one that struggled to break 100. We had one.
You hadn't been playing very long.
Hadn't been playing. We actually had two that at times don't break 100.
Okay.
We had one that's a better player that realistically could have, you know, probably broke, probably could shoot in the low 80s to 70s. So let's talk about what are the things you saw?
Well, their understanding is always very interesting
right, to
me. Understanding of how complex they think they need to make the golf swing.
Mm-hmm.
And then their lack of understanding of how to actually apply the stuff and
yeah,
get better. Maybe sprinkled in there with understanding the ball flight stuff. Like, good players are obsessed with the golf ball and they understand if I'm hitting this shot, X causes that.
Mm-hmm.
Or this shot is Y. And it rarely do they get outside of their tendencies in that regard. Well, it's the same thing for somebody that's trying to break 90.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a wider dispersion or worse looking shots, but their tendencies within that circle don't change.
Well, I think you could start with the young high school player we had at the end of the day.
Okay.
Who wasn't trying to hit a shot.
Yeah. He was trying to make a swing.
Right. And I think that if you're a golfer that Brady Riggs was on this not long ago talking about, like, you should be trying to hit a shape, right? And I think that even if you're a 20 handicapper, I think you should understand what your ball flight is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're working with somebody, I'm sure there's a miss and I'm sure there's a curve, but you should understand that and go play the golf course trying to hit that shape, right? Like, I don't think you, if you're a guy that hits a big cut, standing up on a hole and aiming down the right side isn't,
you know,
and hitting a draw is dumb, right? So I think I think that's a big deal, is what you were talking about, is understanding. I don't think many recreational golfers, I think when they go take lessons, I think they get so fixated on the golf ball and how they're doing that I don't think that we spend enough time educating them on what's causing the stuff to happen, right? And helping them develop an understanding of that cause.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah, and I think second fold to that is their ability to translate that
right,
understanding on the practice tee, which is difficult. But I think being able to hang in there, and the longer I coach, the more it is about going slow, doing something with a wedge at a half speed so that they can actually do it and control those one or two things that we're trying to get them to do, sink their teeth into it, and then build on top of it so they have a feel. The one gentleman hadn't had a feel all day. I mean, we were hitting balls for a while, and then finally he had voiced something that had changed, which some of that's on us for being able to reach each player individually.
For sure. But I also think from a student, and like, you should be, if you're a 25 handicapper, 20 handicapper, 15 handicapper, when you go to the range, you should be writing down and trying to understand what your good shots feel like.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why we do so much with bands and slow swings and things away from the ball to help you, gives you time to develop a feel.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the number one question we were asked when we went up on the golf course was, well, how do we transfer what we did? Right. And I thought, and you know, my response was like, well, you should be out there trying to take what we did on the range, whatever that felt like, and you should be committed to trying to make it feel the same every swing, regardless of where the last ball went, which I think is it's the hard part. That's hard as shit to do, right?
Yes.
But I think you've got to try to make, you can't be reactive to the last shot. You've got to be committed to what you're doing. Another thing that I think that anybody listening, especially if you have a hard time breaking 100 or you have a hard time breaking 90 and even 80, but is having a process and a process that gets you into your setup, gets you into a balanced setup, and that you do every time.
Hmm.
You know, Nick has one, he's taught his guys that samurai stuff, and we use a thing with hip hinge, but like, whatever it is, like, do it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it when you practice too. I see folks that don't ever, they go on the golf course and then they start trying to do a routine. They don't ever practice with it, right? And I think you've got to practice your process, work on you. So that's another observation, is like, they is develop a process to get into the ball. And I'm not talking about pre-shot routine necessarily. I'm talking about a process that helps you get balanced and postured correctly every time, and pay attention to it when there. And I think we've talked about, you know, understanding what your golf swing is, what the curve is. I like that observation, and I like the process. What else did you see?
Well, I want to go specifically into a case example for somebody that might be trying to break 100 or 90, and explain one of the gentlemen that we had today. He did not understand that his fat shots, his thin shots, and he's a lefty, and his slices to the left were the same thing. So I had to explain to them the low point.
That's common, because most golfers, even some decent juniors, and like, they'll hit a miss, and they'll go, now what did I do that time?
Nothing different.
Right, and it's nothing different. And that's where I think coming in, you know, that's where. But I mean, even we have tour players that say that. I had one as well, the miss. Well, it's the same thing we talked about, right?
So for him, he was a lefty, terrible grip, didn't turn back. So he would load his arms and unload his arms and throw it into the dirt. So that's his fat shot, right? Because this radius was coming out early, whatever, however you want to talk about it. Well, instead of hitting the ground, he had high grass anxiety.
Yeah. That's what he called it, high grass anxiety. That's not what I was thinking when I heard high grass anxiety.
So he'd throw it into the ground.
I was thinking gummies.
Yeah. So his divots over there.
Which, by the way, I'm going to come up with Dew Sweeper golf gummies.
Yes.
THC to help you chip better, putt better. Go ahead. Yeah.
And he would adjust and hit it thin because he's used to doing that, hitting behind it, doesn't like the ground. So he'd go that way, hit it thin, and then for him being a lefty, face on, when he would do that, his chest would back up and he'd actually start going this way, face would open, and he'd hit it over there. Rarely did he hit the one.
No, I didn't see
that. Was
see
a
one.
Hard draw. Okay, so explained that to him. I actually told him too, like, one of my professional players that has made a run probably over the last 18 months, he's understood that his block right, his overdraw, and his toe ball are all the same thing, which isn't far off from the same paradigm that this guy was living in. But then he understood that. And then we took some balls. I only let him hit 30 golf balls in 30 minutes and tried to simulate what we were going to do on the golf course, making him put his grip on there correctly. And then a feel in the backswing with what you were trying to get him to do turning back, and then a feel going through it. And then he had to walk up to the golf ball and hit it, teed up. And then he had to start that whole process over. Goal being to get him set up, have a feel and a feel that he can translate to the golf course and hang out in there. And did he do it? And his threshold today isn't going to be very high. Out of those 30 golf balls, if he did it well with five of them, it'd be great.
Yeah, but you could certainly see, that he got better as the day progressed. His good got much better. He started hitting it further.
For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac extra value meal for $8. That means two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
Race the rudder! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, and along those lines of, you know, of what you just said, I think also most golfers don't know how to practice, especially the folks that are trying to break 100 or 90 and don't have any structure or script to their practice. And you don't have to be a tour player to get more out of practice, right? Or to have a structured practice. And I like what you did with putting the little stacks of balls out. I do that all the time. And I think you ought to separate your practice. Like if you're working on something in your backswing and something in your forward swing, you ought to hit some balls just doing your practice.
Yes.
Some balls just doing your short game or forward swing and do them both.
Yeah.
Nick Bova walking up. We're doing a little podcast here. You want to sit in?
Mr. Bova.
Pull up a chair. You can join us.
Howdy, howdy. And figuring out what works for you too.
Right.
The other guy that might not have listened as well, Bova gave him a little practice plan, and we had to write stuff out for him because he's going to hit 1,000 balls in his basement.
We're talking about observations that we made from the recreational golfers we saw today, people trying to break 100 and break 90 primarily. Jackson talked about how they struggle understanding their golf swing and I think some of it's they don't slow down to listen to understand.
Yeah.
Some of it too is we got to do better. I know you do, Jackson. But teachers in general, I think, have to do better at slowing down and making sure the student understands it before they just move on to the next thing. You know, we talked about we had a junior that just was hitting balls, not trying to hit a shot. What other observations have you had? And I talked about obviously don't have a process getting into the ball. Like your guys had a process. Jackson, I showed. Like they, when you watched them at first, they just grabbed a club and just stood up the ball and made a swing, not really having any intent or process about how they got in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issue with say the average golfer and their process is one, they hit a poor shot in practice, they rake in the next one, they hit another poor shot, and then they go through the Rolodex of all the shit that they've tried to do over the last 25 years.
We had one of those.
You know? And I tell people all the time, whether you hit it good, bad, or indifferent, you know, the same thing needs to be done on the next shot. So if you hit a bad one, you have to go through the same intent on the next shot that you're going to hit, as opposed to running through a feel that you might have had a month ago that felt like it worked well, instead of sticking with what it is that you're actually doing, right? So there's no game plan for what it is that they're doing.
And I think one of the things that happens to golfers is they hit a good one, they don't even know what they did. We've had a student that couldn't feel or tell the difference between the good ones and the bad ones, right?
Yeah.
And if that's you, Like, well, you need to sit down with your teacher and you need to understand what happens on the good ones so you can go out there and try to do it. Exactly. If you don't know the difference.
I mean, I tell people all the time, like, if you can't make a full range of motion and hit it to the end of this range tee, which is 30 yards from here, there's no way on God's green earth you're going to be able to do it at 150.
No.
You know, or beyond, right? So, I mean, I preach slow motion and exaggerated ones all the time until I'm blue in the face. And like the guy we had earlier today, I mean, you know, I worked with him last year consecutively or continuously throughout the full year. And I mean, I tried to harp on that every single day, mm-hmm. you know, and we saw it today. It's just not there.
Yeah, well, it's hard. And I do understand that it's hard for people. Yeah, and it's hard for certain people.
I think the reason why they don't do it is because it's so difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing is, you have to get somebody to work through that.
Avoiding it doesn't make you better.
No. acknowledging that it's actually difficult and then saying, okay, well, I know I'm going to hit some good ones. I know I'm going to hit some poor ones. And just sticking, like we talked about, sticking with what you're trying to do and what's your intent on the shot you're trying to hit.
Yeah. And I mean, I know this is like, everybody says this is old school shit, but like, man, like the difference is you watch the level of player in how much they pay attention to their setup and their grip. Even when you would fix a grip four swings later, it's back to the old, right?
Yep.
Whereas, like, I mean, we look at Scottie Scheffler, best player in the world, and he's paying meticulous attention to his grip with a trainer.
Grip trainer. Yep.
All right. And yet, you know, guys can't break 90, and he's not paying any attention to it. And I think that one of the struggles out there is getting people to buy into how important your grip and your posture and your balance. I mean, how much posture and balance work and grip work did we do today? There's an epidemic
every single person. Weak
grips and people with poor pivots up here in Jersey. They're all leaned on the front leg, and they've all got their hand twisted on top. I mean, you're going to make $1 million teaching golf up here if you just strengthen grips and got people to turn behind it.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
I mean, it's a cornucopia.
Cornucopia. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, was that your word of the day, toilet paper?
Do they have that? I might buy some. You know? But anyways, man, we had a blast today.
Yeah, you know? No, thank you guys for being here. It's always awesome having you guys.
And, yeah.
We'll
I enjoy coming up.
Another good day tomorrow. And
what'd you see from them on the golf course? Curious what you saw.
You know, I think the biggest thing is they don't have an understanding of what they need to do before they hit a golf shot. Mm-hmm. Right? They're just looking at a number on the golf cart to the front of the or to the center of the green, and then they're picking a club and going about it that way.
Right? I mean, what about that par three where it was uphill into the breeze? It's cool, it's in the 60s. And they're trying to hit the club that they would hit with at 90 degrees level downwind.
I mean, into the wind. So I'll always tell them, you know, first thing you have to do is read the lie. On a par three, you don't have to read the lie because it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? But it's read the lie, elevation, wind, and then you have to give yourself three numbers to help give yourself some depth perception on the green, right? So whether it's a front bunker, the front of the green, the whole location, and then the back of the green. If you can have three numbers, it starts to give you an idea as to what kind of shot you need to hit. Mm-hmm. You know, you might look at it and say it's 152, but it's 146 to cover the bunker, and your club that you think goes 152 really only flies 145. Guess where you just hit it every time.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
In the bunker.
Right.
So
we did some work with the one student I thought was really good with the Launch Pro, Bushnell Launch Pro. Shout out to the sponsor. But whether you use that, a quad, TrackMan, whatever, I think just learning how far you hit things and also learning how far things carry when you go easier, softer, when you, you know, when I hit it 70% feeling or whatever, we got this guy in touch more with the speed that he felt like it was swinging. But like, I mean, those are things that, like, to me, with your wedges. So a guy that shoots 180, man, they have a lot of pitch shots and wedge shots.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect, but like, have an idea really how far you carry your wedges or how far a half of a swing with a 54 degree goes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the lack of understanding it's like mind boggling almost to me. You know, I've been playing forever and my dad taught me how to do all these things and how to understand all these things. And, you know, talking to some people, like, you know, they look at me like I've got three heads, you know. It's like, you need to understand how far the ball carries. You need to understand what your wedges are doing. You need to understand what, say, a 9 o'clock swing and a 11 o'clock swing feel like, you know. And, you know, they might do it here in a lesson and see some okay results, but then I'll look down the range, you know, and next thing I know, they're just ripping full speed and raking them in and hitting them as hard as they can.
You know, and the last thing, wrap this up, you get a lesson, I guess. Hardest working guy in Jersey. But fixing those pivots and weak grips. But
pivots to make divots.
Yes, the Dew Sweeper Pivots and Divots Tour 2025 coming at you. But was the other was reminded this junior, like, write notes.
Yeah.
Like, when you hit some good ones on the range and you're working with your teacher, like, write down what you do when it's going good.
Yeah.
Like, then when you go practice, look at your notes.
Yeah.
Like, tour players do that. They're always making notes. Some of them have books like this or they write them in their phones. But, like, man, make notes. Like, it's so much easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
You shouldn't be trying to solve the Rubik's Cube every time you pull out a club off the range.
God, no. I mean, our brains as human beings is made to problem solve, right? So you hit a poor shot, and the first thing you're going to want to do is try to problem solve it. Mm-hmm. Well, we already solved the problem, right? You just have to take the time to actually work through it and get to the end answer, you know? And that's what people just don't do.
No.
Or don't do enough of.
I couldn't agree more. I think that everybody gets so where they can Google the answer to everything.
AI.
Right. And they hit one bad shot and they turn to what I do there. Sometimes they don't. I think the other thing, you understand that she's been such a good player for a long time and we're around it. Like, but sometimes you do everything right and you still hit a shitty shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do.
Yeah.
Right. Golf's really hard. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, you can make a really good swing and still hit it in a bad place. And that's hard for people to understand, but it's the truth.
Yeah. You have to accept it. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, you're going to do things in life in general. You're going to do things that you think you're doing the right way and you get a bad result that way too. You know, it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Well, but you got to figure out a way to work through
it. We're going to be back tomorrow fixing more divots and pivots. You go get this guy's grip stronger and get him to turn more. I know that's what he needs. So I appreciate you sitting in. Man, it's been a blast. We've had it. Hey, and congrats on all your success playing and teaching up here. You're doing such a good job. We're proud of you. Love it when you come down to Old Palm and hang out with us too. And
thank you.
I mean,
you guys are the best.
Jackson, I mean, we got to talk. I don't know if we can bring him back. He's a little sketchy. But he's playing online Baccarat. So if you want, unbelievable.
I've turned $53 into $317.
You listen to Jackson Court on Baccarat.
In for dinner.
Hit in.